Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, glad you're with us on this Thursday. They take flight today. Your Jacksonville Jaguars pulling in this morning here at Everbank. The trucks are loading up the equipment. I think 3:30, Tony, is when the parade procession heads out to the airport or thereabouts this afternoon. Jags will be in the air for the overnight flight to London, England. Probably have a walkthrough tomorrow. J.P. Shadrick of the Jaguar Radio Network and Jaguars.com will join us coming up to detail kind of the itinerary of what the Jags have to look forward to this weekend. Shad Khan should have an announcement later on today, and we'll all find out at the same time what that entails in terms of the Jags' ongoing arrangement with the City of London and Wembley Stadium in particular.
Sure.
So we'll talk about that when it becomes appropriate.
And if it expands beyond London. Who knows? I mean, there was talk. I don't know if the Jaguars will be attached to that, but there was talk about games maybe in Germany. I know Mexico was mentioned again for this potential expansion. I don't know if the Jaguars announcement is going to have anything directly to do with those things.
But I'd be surprised.
I think the NFL has something that they want to do in that regard.
They may, and I'd be surprised if the Jags are doing anything other than a London-Wembley experience. And, Tony, quite frankly, I would. The more I think about it, a home and away game back-to-back would be fantastic for this team. You know, look, you don't get to travel to most of the road games anyway if you're a Jaguar fan. You probably don't travel to most of them anyway. So have some other team have to fly over to London and get adjusted while the Jags are already entrenched and hopefully can put together back-to-back good performances over there. But who knows? That's just speculation. Really no point in worrying about it until we see what the announcement entails a little bit later on. We'll talk to a Buffalo reporter coming up today in about 30 minutes or so as well. We'll get the latest on the Bills who are, as you laid out, Tony, missing a lot of key personnel, including their quarterback and their starting receivers on that football team. Kyle Williams, very good defensive tackle. Chantrell Henderson, very good offensive tackle. And I guarantee you Bills fans are thinking, well, this is the week to have them out. If you're going to have all these guys out, this is the week. It's up to the Jags to prove them wrong on that score. We'll see if they can. We'll try to also go across the pond. Ryan O'Halloran landed in London yesterday. I imagine he is looking for salt right now to season his food, because that's how O'Halloran rolls. He's probably found the candy section of a local Quickie Mart or the London equivalent of. Because he wants to have that good old taste of America. Once he finds a Mickey D's, he'll be fine. And I'm sure he will sniff one out in his time across the pond. Today, Tony, a very simple question. With the Jags departing for London, we ask folks in the fan feedback spotlight, what's the farthest you've ever traveled to see the Jaguars play? And, you know, whether it's mileage or what city you've traveled from and to, because not everybody is from Jacksonville, certainly who participates in the program. I think right now, looking into the future, Irish Jag might have the lead on future travel. County Cork to London. So that's 359 miles, and then he's done that now, but come November, Cork to Orlando to Jacksonville, 4,111 miles is pretty good. I'm sure there are plenty of Jag fans in the audience, or at least some out there, who've made the London trip already at least once in the last couple of years, and probably some that are over there right now, and some that are getting ready to go as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit today. We'll also hear from Gus Bradley. We'll hear from Blake Bortles, maybe a little bit from Greg Olsen as well, as they all spoke midweek yesterday getting ready for week 7 against the Buffalo Bills. Bye week to follow that. If you'd like to get in today, it's going to be a little bit tight on the phone lines because we got a lot going on, but you can try to break off the call at 641-1010. The most effective way may be the text line. Same number, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 904-641-1010. You want to weigh in on Devon House. You want to weigh in on London. You want to weigh in on anything Jaguar related. You can do it there. You can also tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL Fat Tony. Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business because we like to keep a lot of avenues of communication open for you. Again, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asking you, what's the farthest you've traveled to see the Jaguars play? And that's it, and that's all. Share your thoughts with us on that and anything else Jaguar-related. J.P. Shadrick of the Jaguar Radio Network coming up next. I'm Mike Dempsey. He's Fat Tony. We're live at Everbank as they're packing up all the goodies and getting ready to take flight to London, England. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
us today on this Thursday, live at EverBank, Mike Dempsey, Matt Tony, JP Shadrick, Jaguars.com, Jaguars.com Live, Jaguars pregame, postgame, in-game, halftime.
I wear the mascot suit sometimes.
He does.
Not really. That's a joke.
That's a secret. That's kidding. A behind-the-scenes secret. No, he does not wear the mascot suit. He just parades around in it, Tony. He doesn't wear it for official duties. He just likes to wear the head.
I'm a mascot without a suit.
He is. That's what he is. He's everyone's mascot. He's America's mascot, J.P. Shattuck.
What's
How
up?
Are you?
I'm Everything great. Good? Oh, yeah. Getting ready for the... I don't know if you heard, but the Jags are going to London this week.
London.
So we're getting ready. There's apparently like a check-in here, and then there's a plane. You got to go to the airport and fly.
You're going to go to London, you say?
Well, apparently it's in England. Game. They've been there for a long time, these English. And they have stadia and sport and all kind of stuff over there. And they're trying to figure out this game we call American football. And we're going to go. No, it's check-in today here at the stadium. So getting ready for the flight this afternoon. There is a regular practice today for the Jags also. So that's coming up about an hour from now. So.
You leave here, leave the premises about 3:30? Is that
something
right?
Something like that. And I think the plane is wheels up around 6. And it's a really long flight.
It's a long flight, but if there's a way to travel, it's the way that a professional sports team travels.
I'm not complaining at all. We know the way that travel can go in sports sometimes, so this is certainly okay, and we'll take it. No, it's straight into Heathrow, and then I think we land at like 6 in the morning, something like that, get through customs, all that, get on the bus, go to the hotel right by Wembley, and then... about midday, I think 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock. There's a practice at Alliance Park.
1 o'clock London time.
Yes.
Okay. So right now, I'm told 5 hours ahead of time.
It's 5 hours now. Then on game day, just to throw a wrench into the plan a little bit, the English times, I guess it's Greenwich Mean Time, goes back an hour. But the U.S. doesn't go back until another week.
Okay.
So on game day, it's a 4 hour difference. Today, it's a 5 hour difference.
I wonder if that will help the Jaguars. Probably.
But it didn't last year when it happened last year,
too. It happened last year?
Or 2 years ago, maybe. One of those.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was 5 hours last year.
I think 2 years ago it was the same thing, yeah. So
obviously, mixing it up in terms of travel days, is it just a case of nothing's worked yet? Let's try it this way.
That and British pounds, I think, probably had something to do with it.
The exchange rate and the cost of spending all that time over there?
You think about...
Shotgun wrote a check last year that was... had to be massive.
Think about what it would cost to put an entire football team and the staff that surrounds it up at a 5-star golf resort an hour outside of London in the countryside.
With everyone having their own room. Dude, we weren't even doubled up in the place. It was unbelievable.
I mean, you should have seen my spa bill that I turned in. I mean, it was unbelievable.
I should have tried that, Tony. I don't know. I would have got that right back from...
Surprise, my code still works, I'll be honest with you. No, so you eliminate that cost. It's a huge cost. I think it has a little bit to do with both. You've tried it, you know, leaving here on a Monday the first year. You tried it leaving from the previous game, the Sunday night after the game. Now you leave on a Thursday, arrive Friday. A lot of teams have done that and had some success with that. So this is going to be a part of the Jaguars' schedule for a long time to come. So you might as well figure out the best course of action. They haven't quite yet. The results haven't been there. Try it a different way, see what happens, and that can change with the years, too.
That being said, an announcement expected today from Shad Khan on the future of the arrangement.
Yeah, I read the story. I guess it was a... NFL.com, Yahoo story, that talking to Shad, and he said, hey, wait till Thursday. So we've read the same thing you have. This is always the week, though, that at least there's an announcement for next year. What game, what week. So this is always one of the big weeks of the year to talk to Mr. Khan.
That's right. We found out like Wednesday of last year, I think, that they're going to play Buffalo this season. So we may find out the opponent next year. And you figure it's typically, it vary because I guess the Jets and the Dolphins played over there. Was it week 4 that they played over there?
So yes.
It could be earlier in the season. There's been talk of potentially doing 3 overall different NFL games in a row, 3 weeks in a row, right?
That's the next step, really.
Putting them all together. Yeah. But there's also been talk about one team playing 2 games, a la a home and a road, and I think that would be phenomenal for the Jags to do if they could do it, because if you're only giving up the one home game and you're already there and you don't have to go through the extra travel and you're acclimated and you've got another team coming in that's got to make that adjustment the following week, I would think that could be a potential big advantage, particularly since it's a road game for you, that you're, you know, you're putting the other team, the supposed home team, at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I go back to the back to football luncheon here. When was that? September. Here at Everbank Field was the last time Shad spoke to the media here locally, and it was right after that luncheon. He was asked about all this stuff. What's the future in London? He wants to go until 2030 and sign a 15-year deal and do all this. Could there be some of that? Maybe. Could there be some of the back-to-back weeks? I'll go back to that. He said then that he didn't think that was going to be in the plan to go back-to-back for the Jags. Who knows? Time can change some things. I'm not putting anything outside of the realm of possibility. I'm really not with this agreement, because that's a big part of this local revenue for this Jaguars team, is playing that game there and getting all you can out of that week or the days surrounding that game in London. And it's going to be around for a while, so get used to it.
It's fun to guess what it could be, but we'll find out soon.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate.
You know, we can tomorrow we'll know, and we'll talk about what's really...
And then next, we're going to play a game in Abu Dhabi, and we're going to go to Japan after that. We're going to play...
Abu Dhabi, you want to see the bill for Abu Dhabi. Yeah. If you thought London for a week was
right.
expensive. Holy cow. All right, for you, though, there are all kinds of events going. And honestly, the one thing I will miss of not going this year is hanging out with the people from the Union Jacks Club.
Great group, man.
Such good people over there, man. And I don't want to start naming them all, but, you know, there are some ringleaders, Union Jacks Joe and Stoff and Irish Jag, and there are many others, but those are ones I, you know, got a little bit of a connection with. And it was such a good group, and they're so appreciative of that one time of year opportunity to have this team that they've adopted come into their backyard. And a lot of them are reciprocating and coming over here for the Thursday nighter, I think, is the big one that they're targeting with Tennessee. Some of them are coming in for multiple games this year, which is kind of cool to see. And I know Shad Khan ultimately wants that to be a two-way street with business and all these other things as well. But for you, what kind of events do you have that you're partaking in this
there
weekend?
There is always, you know, there's always, Mr. Khan always puts on the dog for the big sponsors and the whole thing. That's a whole different animal. I think Friday night there's
puts on the dog. Is that an Alabama expression?
Putting on the dog. That's a good thing. That's
okay.
Putting on a lot of things.
All right, we'll put on the dog.
So I don't think he would say it like that, but that's what he's doing.
He
so Friday night there's a huge sponsor party for the Jaguars and I think some city people, some other folks at Abbey Road Studios. They're renting out Abbey Road Studios for the night, doing a huge bash thing. Not going to that. Saturday's the big day. In the morning, we believe Shad's going to be available to the media, so we'll do that in the morning. And then at noon, from about noon London time until about 5:30, is the Regent Street party, NFL on Regent Street, which is a big shopping district in London between Oxford Circus and Piccadilly Circus. That entire street is closed down to traffic, and it's only pedestrians. I think last year they had about 500,000 people walk through there on Saturday, which is a lot of folks. They have a main NFL stage, so they'll have five or six Jags players, head coach Gus Bradley, five or six players from the Bills, Rex Ryan, Neil Reynolds hosts that part. This
that,
year,
did they do that last year or did they do it the year before?
They do it every year at different sites.
Because year was at Wembley, right? That the equivalent?
Well, since they have multiple games, they do a different place for each game.
Okay.
So they do each year the Trafalgar Square, the Wembley thing, which will probably be somewhere else now since it was horrible, and then Regent Street. So this one for us is at Regent Street. It's our third different location for it. So there's a main stage at one end near Oxford Circus, and then a Jaguar stage and a field for the Roar to do presentations down near Piccadilly Circus. So I'll host the Jaguar stage for, I think, 3 or 4 hours, something like that. We'll have some alumni players come through, some Roar cheerleaders and giveaways and all kind of stuff.
Does it bother you when you're up there and they start chanting, Ogier, Ogier, Ogier? Does that bug? I've kind of let that go on the pregame. I've gotten used to that on the pregame.
Yeah, it's a scene, man. Yeah,
it is a scene.
No doubt. So that'll be fun. It's a different environment for us to do that. And then right after that, about 7 o'clock London time that night, is the Union Jacks fan party at the Two Sportsmen Pub, which is a couple of blocks away over in Soho. So that'll be it's always a fun one with giveaways and special guests will pop in like out of nowhere. That always kind of happens.
Was that the, is that the same locale as last year?
Different place.
Different place. Okay.
Different place.
I want to have a mental picture of what's going on here.
The first year they had it at the Hard Rock, in the back bar of the Hard Rock, right near Hyde Park. Which was great. A little small, but it was a great, it spilled out on the street. The neighbors were all mad. People yelling out the windows. Apparently there you can't yell after midnight. People get mad there for some reason.
You know,
so I don't know.
I seem to have recall being yelled at myself last year.
Get off
that.
The street, that kind of thing. So, and then last year it was at, I forget the name of the bar, but it was, Marylebone, a sports bar.
That's what it was.
So
right.
That was a bigger place down in the basement of this place. So it was sweaty hot down there.
It was
about
awesome.
300 people packed shoulder to shoulder. I was standing on a chair with two Heinekens in one hand and a microphone in the other.
Nice.
It was quite a night.
It was great because everyone's like, oh, you're with the Jags. And then it was, here, drink this.
Right.
All right, fine.
So this year you got to be careful because there is that kind of thing going on. It's a bigger space this year, I think. But remember, it's a normal game day on Sunday. It's an early game. It's not a 6 o'clock kick anymore
right,
over there.
Right.
It's a 1 o'clock, 1:30 kick, so a 10:30 pregame up to that. So it'll be a relatively early night for yours truly, but certainly
he
not
says
for the
for
Jags.
Official fan. Ears that are listening right
That's
now.
That's right.
And what about game day itself? What will be different about the broadcast? Obviously, you've got a lot of other luminaries that you'll want to talk to, the mayor and the owner of the team, obviously, and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of that's going to happen on Saturday, so we'll have a lot of special interviews we normally don't have. Mark Waller from the National Football League in charge of the international series for the NFL. He'll join us as well to discuss the future, not only in the UK, but they're looking at Mexico City as early as next year. It's a possibility, he said. So we'll visit with him and break down what the future holds for the Jaguars in the UK. That's a big part of the pregame show on Sunday. We'll be live from the broadcast, I guess, the platform. It's not really a platform. It's out in the open air.
Yeah.
You've been there.
I've been to that.
You know, and then so we'll be right there for the whole pregame show. You guys will be back here. We'll go back and forth, and then in the postgame show, we'll have a segment or two there, and then you guys will take it the rest of the way from here in the States. So we're looking forward to it. Another sold out house is going to be awesome. The Ohio State University marching band is performing.
Oh, really?
Pregame and doing both anthems. I think
there's no I in Jacksonville.
Yeah, there is.
Or there is in Jaguars, I meant to say. I guess there's an I in Bills. They'll have to spell out Jacksonville.
Dot the I.
They have to dot the I with something.
I don't
right?
think they have enough people to spell out Jacksonville. That's a lot.
I don't know. Lowercase.
Ohio
maybe?
And Jacksonville. It's a lot of different letters.
Are they going to dot the I on Ohio and all the fans in England are going, what is going
what
on?
What is Ohio? Right.
Right. What is this? What have we come to at this point in time?
So that'll be good, man. We're looking forward to a great week. I know it's a lot of our VPs and executives have been over there throughout the week already, city leaders and stuff doing their run around the city, which they always do to try to drum up support and business. And we'll go join them starting tonight, early tomorrow, and hopefully go over there and finally play well in Wembley. That's a big, John Osher's talked about this all week. If this is going to be a part of the schedule for the next X number of years, at some point you got to figure out how to play well and win over there.
Right. And to me, it's not about the fact that it's played in London. It's the fact that they haven't been good enough, right? Because the teams that beat them aren't any more acclimated to going over there to London.
That's right. I mean, and the story last year was the Cowboys, like 15 to 20 guys missed curfew and were out till 2 a.m.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the Jags happened. Were off to a good start. And then,
one fumble by
Ace Sanders turned that whole thing around in the early going. So just play better. Right?
Play better. Be in the game. And we fully expect this to be a game in the fourth quarter. I mean, they've got a lot of guys banged up. Taylor's out. Watkins didn't make the trip. They got Percy Harvin about to retire with a bad hip. They got all this stuff
Kyle
going
Williams,
on.
Kyle Williams, Chantrell Henderson, on and on and on.
I mean, the list goes on for the Bills, but we've heard that story before.
You can do that all around the National Football League.
That's
so,
right. And certainly for the Jaguars. So
no overlooking anything.
Go play well. This is the year, going back to the 3-in-a-row thing in the future. This is the year, this week and next week, of the games at Wembley. They'll see how the pitch holds up. And that's going to be the next step, is can it survive for 2 to 3 weeks on end? Can a same franchise play back-to-back, maybe back-to-back-to-back games and have the same support? And all of a sudden, if people are buying tickets for 4 or 5 games over there a year for different teams, guess what? There's your season ticket base beginning to bloom all of a sudden in front of your eyes if the support's there and it continues to grow over the next 5 to 7 years.
All right, there he is, J.P. Shadrick of the Jaguar Radio Network. Safe travels.
Yeah, man.
Have fun. Say hello to as many people as you can from Tony and myself, and I'll talk to you on Sunday.
Hello to as many people as we can from Tony and yourself. I'll pass it along.
There's a reason I like J.P. Shadrick. I can't remember it at the moment, Tony, but I know there's a reason that I like J.P. Shadrick.
Good to see you.
Have a good trip, man.
All right, buddy.
There he goes,
J.P.
Shadrick of the Jaguar Radio Network, of course, Jaguars.com, and all the goodies that he's into right there. All right, we will come back and we'll talk the Buffalo side of things. Mike Shoup going to join us from WGR Radio up in Buffalo as we'll get down to what the state of that team is right now. A host of injured players, as JP just laid out for you, but they are 3-3 and looking to get well against the Jacksonville Jaguars here in Week 7. We'll do that straight ahead. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, live from Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
Percy Harvin has a non-injury related, he's pretty much excused for personal reasons, and so I'll just leave it at that.
Was Percy last week's admission, or was it the pass?
Well, no, I think, you know, right now this is a, you know, it's a personal thing right now, and that's where it is.
You know what I take out of that, Tony? It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
With Percy Harvin right now.
I think
now.
That's where it is.
What a shock. Percy Harvin's got something going on with him, and it's not involving playing football in a healthy fashion for some team out there. Only 27 years old. I don't know if he's contemplating retirement or not, but those are the stories circulating around, some already denied. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank as we take you up to Buffalo as the Bills across the pond already. Mike Shoup from WGR Radio in Buffalo joins us here. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Hi, Mike. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what's the story with Percy Harvin from what we're hearing? We saw Vic Carucci report that he's contemplating retirement. We see Adam Schefter quickly say, no, he's not. Personal issue. Is he healthy? Is he not healthy? What's going on with him right now?
I know maybe not much more than that. Contemplating is a smart reporter's word. You know, like, I've contemplated a lot of things. Not all of which were things I came close to doing. So I think he's hurt. He's had this hip injury for a while, going back before he came to Buffalo. And if he were depressed or concerned that he couldn't be the player that he once was at this point and thought about, you know, moving on, then that wouldn't be that surprising, I think. I don't really, by the way, blame the Bills for getting him. They took a chance, but it's also not that surprising that this would be where they're at this point.
Tyrod Taylor has been one of the surprises of the early season, I think, for a lot of people, that he won the job coming through camp, that he wound up the starter for this Buffalo team and played pretty well here in the early part of the season, but he's not available this week. How do the Bills feel about E.J. Manuel being their quarterback in the short term?
Well, how they feel, maybe they're more positive or optimistic than I am. that's probable, actually. He's not good. And I like Taylor a lot. I mean, Taylor has been really fun. It's possible, I think, that the Bills have a real find in him. But, you know, he's got a knee sprain, and I would not criticize them for holding him out, for being careful with him. Manuel, you know, accuracy, decision-making, it's a big difference for me.
All the things that would fall under the category of good quarterback
play,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, we understand.
Yeah, you know,
watch it from
right.
Afar.
Speed. Taylor is a fabulous runner, and Manuel is much bigger. Like, he can't be that kind of runner, but he has never been anything remotely close to dangerous with his legs. So,
which is surprising.
I think it's a big drop-off.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, the guy showed some mobility, certainly, at Florida State. He wasn't running crazy, but it's a little bit surprising to me that he hasn't had that. And obviously this week, not only Percy Harvin, but Sammy Watkins out. I know there's a team that wants to run the football. How healthy is LeSean McCoy, and how much of a workload do you think he can handle this week?
Well, last week was a pretty good week for him. I was not impressed with the idea that he go back in before being fully healed, and I think they I don't know if panic isn't too strong, but I think they felt like they needed him badly and went back on their plan to wait for him to be healthy. You know, the thing about manual running is really interesting, and I think this is fairly common in the league. You know, you have a guy who has a certain skill set. He gets drafted by a team that tries to make him into something a little bit different, and then coaches get changed out, and the pressure builds, and the media and the fans do their thing, and then it just gets harder each time. So, I mean, I don't know that Manuel had to be a washout, but there are lots of first-round picks. He was overdrafted, but, I mean, there are lots of quarterbacks that teams pin their hopes on that they get screwed up. And I think maybe him running, this point you're making too, is an example of that.
You know, the Bills last year, one of the best pass rushing teams in the league, if not the best pass rushing team in the league. Rex Ryan comes in as the head coach. He's got all these exotic blitz schemes. I know there were dreams about what this Buffalo Bills front four could potentially be, and it, to a large degree, has been a disappointment. With just 9 sacks to this point in the season, what is not working this year for the Bills that seems like it was last year?
That's the big question right now about them. They led the league in sacks. I think, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic up here about it. And I think for me, the thing that right now is the most important is who they're playing. I mean, they've played New England. They've played Cincinnati. And these are quarterbacks you just do not get to. So their sack numbers are down. And that's one reason why. I mean, New England's doing anything it wants. They've also played Andrew Luck. They've also played Eli Manning. These guys know what they're doing. And, you know, if Rex wanted them to try to defend these teams by being a little bit less, you know, just straightforward, if you will, with his D-line, I would understand that. And some of the guys, they're big money defensive linemen, are a little bit chapped, I think. But now it's your guy, and then it'll be Miami again. It'll be Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I expect, if not the sack numbers to get better, the overall defensive numbers to get better. Their D is really not at much different of a pace as last year, and they ended up, what, like top 5 in the league. I'm sure they were top 5, if not like second, last year, yards against or points against. So I still think, I mean, the defense is the strength of this team, and I think as the competition level changes a little bit, they should look better numbers-wise.
Mike Shope here with us, WGR Radio up in Buffalo. Mike, couple of rookies out of Florida State on that team, and Carlos Williams got the notice maybe earlier nationally because he was filling in for an injured LeSean McCoy and holding his own, and he's been banged up ever since. But Ronald Darby has played quietly, I think, very well from what I could see from afar. Just how good of a fit has he been in that secondary?
Very good. Very good. You can't overstate that storyline this year. I mean, for a second-round pick to start against those quarterbacks I just named, I mean, all his grades are real good, Pro Football Focus, like that. I mean, all his grades are super good. So he has done a great job for them so far. Williams, I think, is sorely missed. I mean, he had a couple of big runs for them. I don't know. If he were around and healthy, maybe last week's different. Maybe they're able to run the ball better. It makes sense to think they would be. Their offensive line is not very good, though, so it's not a given. But Williams is missed. I mean, they have serious injury problems. The wide receiver thing with Sammy Watkins out for this game. Look at the Jaguars, how talented they are with Robinson and Hearns. And, you know, most teams can present that kind of threat. And right now, Buffalo cannot. The Bills going into this game look like they're on a different level at the skill positions, and that is really unfortunate for a team that is trying to make the playoffs for the first time in forever here.
You mentioned the skill positions, a lot of injuries this team is dealing with, making this trip over to London to play this Jaguars team. What is the conversation specifically about this game against Jacksonville up there in the Buffalo area?
It is must win. It is. Okay, fine. Like, I'll be on the air talking about saying this thing I just said to you about the competition. And, you know, fans would be like, okay, fine. But now it's arguably the worst team in the NFL, so you better win this one. And that's your answer, I think. I mean, if they're going to make it, everything up here is about getting into the playoffs finally. I mean, even if you get to the playoffs and get beat, people are going to be happy with that up here. They just have to make it. It's been since the 90s. So if you're going to make it, and they put a lot of money, big names, Rex Ryan included, this is a game you have to have. They are over in they're in London, and they went there Sunday night, as you may know, whereas the Jaguars are, I don't know, if they left.
No. As a matter of fact, they haven't even practiced today. They're going to leave after practice today.
Yeah. I mean, Jacksonville in other years went early.
They went Monday the first year. They went Sunday last year. So they're trying to mix it up. They're trying to find a formula that works, because clearly the first two, not just because of the time they went, but the results were not what they were looking for. So they figured, what the heck? What's the harm in trying something different this time?
Right. It's funny how it works, you know? Like, usually the better teams win.
Exactly. Right. I don't think it has anything to do with the travel and what time you go and all this. I agree with you. Better teams typically win.
The point is, it costs a lot more money to do it this way. They've been over there since, you know, early Monday. They are really invested in winning this game, and so are fans. And if it does not happen, look out.
Mike, let's wrap up with this. So an obvious connection between these two teams is Doug Marrone, head coach there the last couple of years in Buffalo, now the offensive line coach in Jacksonville. And the way he left, are there still a lot of hard feelings with the fan base, with members of the team? Is this a, boy, we're really looking forward to, as a, you know, secondary to, we got to go out and execute? But you know what I'm saying? Is there a little extra motivation for the Bills players and organization to get this W this weekend?
I would think guy to guy on the team, there probably is some of that. I mean, some of the guys were really offended by how that happened. I don't think the fans really care, because the fans didn't like him. I mean, the Bills had their best record in 10 years, but the fans didn't like him. They thought he was, well, and I guess I'm echoing this because I feel most of this way myself, but really thin-skinned. I mean, just like, it was amateur hour up here. So they had Marrone walk out on them, which, you know, stings, and then Rex Ryan walked in, and every fan thought that was an upgrade. So, I mean, it hasn't been much of a storyline to me, this Marrone part. Plus, he's not the head coach. But yeah, I would think there'd be some players who would feel like this is a thing.
I would imagine so. Look, and it's always funny, because I think most professional athletes should be self-motivated, and many of them are, but a lot of them look for that little extra something to get them up, through 16 games on a long, long season. So whatever it takes, I suppose. Hey, we're not going to wish you luck this week, Mike, for obvious reasons, but we do appreciate you coming on. Mike Shope of WGR Radio, an afternoon host from 3 to 7 there with Shope and the Bulldog with Chris the Bulldog Parker. Mike, we appreciate the insight, and say hi to Vic Carucci if you bump into him up there for us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to do it.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. There he goes. Mike Shope of WGR Radio up in Buffalo. Vic's a good buddy of ours, going back quite a while. So there you have it. A little look at the Bills, Tony. I got to imagine there, particularly a guy like EJ Manuel. Now, what do you do as a quarterback? What do you do if you're more motivated? You know, you can't hulk up, but you know what I mean? And like, if you're a linebacker, maybe there's a little bit more oomph you put into that tackle. But as a quarterback, you got to be calm, collected, play your game. But he got benched by Doug Marrone for Kyle Orton last year, so I'm sure there's a thought that, hey, I'd like to show him that he made the wrong decision.
Don't have any more details than this, but Ryan O'Halloran just tweeted out from over there that Shad Khan has announced a minimum 5-year extension with an option for 2025 for the Jags. I'm sure we'll get more details.
A minimum 5-year extension. Right now the deal is through 2016, right? So 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21. With an option through 2025, it must be a 4-year additional option on the end. Whose option? We don't know yet.
I don't know. All the tweet says.
We'll continue to look through the eyes of Ryan O'Halloran, who is working over there right now, and we're hopeful to have him join us in about 45 minutes live from London to get the latest on what's going down with all these announcements being made, or whatever announcements are to be made in regards to the Jaguars and the London commitment. So we'll do that coming up. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony coming up in a moment. We've got this date in football, but also the Honda Drive around the NFL as well. Live at Everbank, get on board with your fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, and tell us, what's the farthest you've traveled? Farthest? I think it's farthest. Farthest you've traveled to go see the Jaguars play. I'm one of these grammar guys, Tony. I'm always confusing myself. I'm pretty sure it's farthest. Matter of fact, I looked it up this morning, and I'm quite sure it is. Anyway, right now, Cristiano holds it with 4,500 miles from Rio to Jacksonville. Let's see if you can top that. If you can't, love to hear how far you have traveled to support your favorite team. All right, that'll do it for this segment. Coming back with This Date in Football, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank. Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, and by Tyler Devitt. Ladies and gentlemen, This Date in Football History, October 22nd, 1939, NBC became the first major television network to cover an NFL game. It was broadcasted a game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the old Brooklyn Dodgers, as the network was still only in its infancy with only two affiliates. You had the modern-day WRGB, which is now a CBS affiliate. That's in Schenectady, New York, and W2XBS in New York City. And apparently portions of the game still survive via film, but the film is not actual footage from the telecast, Tony, because no one bothered to start recording television broadcasts, or at least the technology to do so didn't begin until 1948. But there are still some, I guess, films of people filming the game from inside the stadium that still exists, but that was the first major TV broadcast of an NFL game back in 1939. Regular broadcast of games, of course, began after World War II, and the first NFL championship game to be televised was the 1948 game between the Eagles and Cardinals. Also on this date, in 1950, the LA Rams beat the Baltimore Colts 70-27, third highest single game score for any one team in NFL history to this date with those 70 points. Also in 2000, Corey Dillon rushed for 278 yards and a pair of touchdowns on 22 carries as Cincinnati knocked off Denver 31-21. At the time, breaking Walter Payton's single-game rushing record, the mark has since been broken. Dillon had also established the NFL rookie record with a 246-yard outburst against Tennessee and on December 4th, 1997. Birthdays for this date include, born in 1955, happy birthday to a local guy, Alan Levitt, who, as a matter of fact, called this show earlier this week. A longtime kicker with Georgia and a short-time kicker with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Happy 60th to Alan Levitt. This date in football brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Have issues with your roof, whether it's at your place of business, your home, re-roofs, repairs, call Bob Roberts at 287-7756, license number CCC056797. That is This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
We'll start with some Jaguars news as Ryan O'Halloran over there across the pond reporting, as he's sitting down with Shad Khan and many other members of the media right now, that the Jags have announced an extension with London through 2020, but for only one game a year. So all the talk about potentially two Jags games being played over there every year has been debunked, at least for now. The offer apparently has an extension. I'm not sure which side has the option on it, but that could keep the Jags playing a game a year over there through 2025. So, and also he added that there's no announcement yet on the 2016 opponent for the Jaguars in London. Tennessee Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota said that his knee feels pretty good and that he feels pretty good about being able to play this Sunday when Tennessee plays host to Atlanta. He was unable to practice yesterday. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant also unable to practice yesterday, as head coach Jason Garrett said that Dez will have to practice this week if he's going to play on Sunday against the New York Giants. Bryant has missed the last four games for the Cowboys and said last weekend that he plans on returning this week. Week 7 in the National Football League gets underway tonight with Seattle at San Francisco in a matchup that essentially for the last half decade has determined who will have control of the NFC West. Instead, tonight the loser will be in last place alone in the division, with both teams coming into the game at 2-4.
All right, just going back to what you're talking about, O'Halloran tweeting out within the last minute that the NFL is interested in having a team play here two straight weeks. And as O'Halloran put it, and hopefully we'll have Ryan on in about 30 minutes, that's the goal anyway, that Shad Khan danced around that. One is a home and one is a road team. So we'll get him to hopefully clarify those comments as to whether or not the Jags could be, you know, in the mix to do something like that.
Well, the league is saying that they're going to play four games a year over in London. It sounds like starting next year at Wembley and at Tottenham. So, I mean, certainly you would think there's an opportunity for somebody to play back-to-backs over there in London next year if it's a home and away game.
Well, and for Schott, I know he's made it clear that the Jags only want to play at Wembley. So it would be as part of that double dip of Wembley games, you would assume. But, look, the big news is, you know, Jim Woodcock, who is Shad Khan's kind of his right-hand man, one of his I don't know how you describe him, but take my word for it. That's an apt enough description. He knows what's going on behind the curtain. He said this deal extends through 2020. Is that what you're gathering from O'Halloran as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2020. So 4 years added on to the 1 year that already existed in the deal. And I understand, look, if you're the NFL, do you want to commit to any one single team being the property over there in London? You know, that it may turn out to be a situation, Tony, where in 4 years or so, teams may be fighting to go over there if the Jags continue to get the kind of revenue return, basically double that they get for a typical home game over here. You know, so I understand why Schott wanted to lock that in for a long-term commitment, but he also, I guess, did say there was an option through 2025. I would imagine that's some kind of a mutual option. I wouldn't think, because I, knowing that Shad Khan wanted to extend it out as far as possible, that if it were his option, he would just go ahead and say, okay, let's make it through 2025 and extend it out for 10 years. But doesn't seem like that's going to be the case right now. Hopefully we'll get Ryan O'Halloran on about 30 minutes from now to get some further clarification on that. Right now, though, let's hear a little bit from Gus Bradley. We also hear from Blake Bortles coming up. They're practicing today, but this was following yesterday's midweek practice, first of the week for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's how Gus opened up his press conference.
Went no pads today. So we just felt like last week had a number of guys that couldn't practice just because of injuries. They ended up playing, but the importance of practice. So went no pads. The guys did a good job. Very similar to like a Thursday tempo of practice, but got a lot accomplished. Add an extra period to practice. It was six plays, three plays on each side. Just a special emphasis on things we need to work on. Players handle it very well.
Gus was also asked, he said they didn't have pads on in practice yesterday, why they made that decision to go without pads yesterday.
I think it was a combination of last week. You know, nice to get guys out there and be able to practice. We had like four or five guys that could practice because of that. And I think that on the trip too, you know, hopefully that will help. Sometimes at this time of the year, it's good to change it up, give a no pad a day.
Yeah, you know, maybe with the 10-hour flight, I don't know. You know, just look, what they've been doing hasn't been getting rave success, so mixing it up, I don't think anybody would have much of an issue with that. Tony, this is a team that wants to run the football. And as they said, they want to run the football even when the opposition knows that it's coming. T.J. Yeldon has been okay in spots. He's been just in other spots, and right now he's banged up. Denard Robinson's been banged up. He looked good in the very beginning of the year. Toby Gerhardt looked very good in the preseason, has looked kind of during the regular season. Now you got Corey Grant on IR. Bernard Pierce really hasn't given you anything. The Jags have not scored a rushing touchdown this year. Gus Bradley was asked about, you know, yards per carry being as low as they are. What can they do to improve in that particular area?
The big emphasis for us is that to maintain the blocks, you know, kind of this play through the echo of the whistle. I talked to Ole about this, you know, where the finish and stand the blocks longer. I think I mentioned to you with, a dynamic punt return, you have a tendency to do that. And we've got a runner that, you know, we just need to maintain our blocks a little bit longer. And I've seen the combinations and things like that work better. We just got to finish even longer.
Yeah, look, I think the offensive line is better, but it's not playing at the level that I expected it to with the changes that they made along that offensive line. Even with the loss of Brandon Linder, I still expect this offensive line to be better than it's been in the last couple weeks. It needs to step up its play. Gus, one more comment here before we step aside. Gus also on if London could eventually be a home field advantage for this Jaguars team.
Right. The more guys on our team that have done the trip, I think you're right. You know, we're still trying to get an idea. We left on Sunday, Monday, now this year Thursday, to try to get a feel how fast our guys acclimate to it. And, you know, so it gives us another opportunity. But hopefully you're right. You know, I know there's a lot of good things going on over there in terms of us, with merchandising and things like that. So, you know, I think the popularity of our team is growing over there. And it's a great atmosphere.
well, ultimately, it's got to be a great atmosphere to win football games, and that's what he's alluded to. All the other stuff, the popularity, the revenue growth, is all phenomenal for the business side, but ultimately, nothing's more phenomenal for the business side, Tony, than winning the Super Bowl. And every regular season game you can win gives you a better chance of securing home field advantage. Ultimately, I'm talking down the line here. I get it. I understand the situation they're in, but that's the big picture that you're trying to build towards. And, you know, so Gus or whomever is coaching the Jags at any point in the future when they're playing in London needs to be concerned about this team's ability to handle the trip and win over there, whether they have a home field advantage or not, have a good enough team to win regardless if it's a neutral site feel to it or not. We'll come back. We'll get more of Gus Bradley. We also hear a little bit from Blake Bortles coming up, and hopefully have a chance to catch up with Ryan O'Halloran live from London in about 25 minutes. Fan Feedback Spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Simply asks you, with the Jags taking off for London today, what's the farthest you've traveled to go see the Jaguars play? Whether it's coming from somewhere else to here in Jacksonville or the opposite, share your thoughts with us on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Hey, coming up today in less than 3 hours, Tony and I will be back over at the palatial 1010XL home base studios for the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast from 2 to 3 this afternoon. A little FanDuel advice, a little lineup advice for you. We'll go through some of the top storylines for Week 7 in the National Football League from a fantasy perspective. That's coming up this afternoon from 2 until 3 o'clock with myself and Fat Tony. Right now, taking a look at what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and in terms of what Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles had to say yesterday, just checking in with O'Halloran. He is going to be tied up, as right now he said the Shad Khan press conference is still ongoing over there in London. He just texted me literally seconds ago, Tony, so he's not going to be able to join us today, possibly tomorrow morning, to reflect on some of the announcements made today. Jags extend their agreement to play in London until at least 2020. There's talk of an option through 2025, but no more details on that at the moment. But it'll be one game a year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Ryan said Shad Khan kind of ducked the questioning about it, the possibility of playing back-to-back home and road games over there. So I'm sure we'll see more. Follow Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter, and you'll find out more as he's trying to live tweet as much information as he can at the present time already over there for the Florida Times Union. So we appreciate that info getting out through his Twitter feed. And like I said, hopefully we'll be able to grab him here tomorrow for 10 minutes or so and get the latest with the Jags landing in London tomorrow morning. All right, let's get back to Gus Bradley. This was yesterday discussing the upcoming game and talking about Doug Marrone, who we talked about with Mike Shope from WGR Radio up in Buffalo. Not about the aspect of, you know, him playing against his old team or coaching against his old team here this week, but just if Doug Marrone has been what Gus Bradley expected him to be when he hired him.
Yeah, he's been great. He's been really good. And matter of fact, just the other day, he came in and we had a conversation, and he was really good. Just conversations about, you know, when you're competing to try to find out, you know, what would be good to stimulate our guys, you know, so it's not the same thing, yet stay within the same message, you know, and stay within our philosophy. How can you, you know, change it up some, but remain, you know, solid on our core principles? So it was that type of conversation.
It's just a weird answer. He was really good in that conversation.
You know, it's one of those things where when you're 1-5, anything that sounds like everything else has sounded, it kind of just hits you hollow.
Right.
Right? And it's that kind of thing, want to stay on message. Well, what's the message?
What is the message that you're saying? And I get what he's saying. Look, they have some core beliefs. And it's easier to envision this on the defensive side, right? Because we know that they believe at their core they want to be a team that rushes four down linemen, plays man on the outside, aggressive man on the outside. And, you know, when you sit there and say, well, we want to stick with our core beliefs, that indicates you're not going to blitz as much. What are your core beliefs on the offensive line? Block the guy across from you?
Yeah.
I mean, open up some holes for the running backs?
I guess.
Protect Bortles?
We just talked about the offensive line a moment ago, and look, I'm disappointed with where it is right now, right? I think that it should be better than it is.
I thought it would be better than it has been.
And so what's wrong with your head coach at 1-5 saying, look, I talked to Coach Marrone earlier this week. We're not performing the way that we want to perform on that offensive line right now, but we are hopeful that we have some things that are working for us. Like, there's nothing wrong with that answer as opposed to we had a really good conversation about our core principles earlier this week. I mean, it's nothing there. It's just absolutely nothing about what's actually happening with this football team right now, which you get a lot of non-answers.
Look,
that's the NFL.
Understand. Gus doesn't want to put anybody on blast publicly.
Except Devon House, apparently.
He didn't put him on blast. He just demoted him, right? I mean, he's demoted other guys. He's moved guys. But in terms of publicly speaking about things, remember he said earlier this offseason when he said somebody's been solid.
He's solid.
He Morris.
You're right. And then when he said, who was it? Was it
Stephen Morris?
That's right. He's been solid.
Yeah.
And then Gus immediately said, and what did he say?
When I say solid, you know, I mean he needs to get better.
Right. In other words, that's as critical as I'm going to be publicly. So I think you have to almost come up with a new scale. If solid means bad, right, what do all these other things mean, you know, along the way? Because Gus is just not the kind of guy, at least to this point, he's going to come out and say, look, we've stunk at this particular thing. We need to get better. At least we haven't seen very much of that coming from Gus Bradley. And that look, it's his prerogative. That's who he is. He's trying to be true to himself. And I do think players appreciate having a coach who, when times get tough, doesn't change his personality and all of a sudden starts exhibiting different behavior than what you've come to expect. Because if you can know what to expect from a guy, they're going to respect that guy more, and that's the theory anyway. And you hear players and former players tell us all the time about that, Tony, how important that is to stay consistent with the message that you're delivering. But ultimately, when the message is producing not the results that you're looking for, I don't know if you need to change the message or what. At that point,
sure.
Not.
I think you didn't have to put anybody on blast to say the offensive line isn't playing well enough. Right.
I
now.
Agree.
And
but
to
Gus, that would be
right
outside of his comfort zone.
No, I understand that. And speaking of things that have been a disaster for the Jaguars in the past, at least in London,
did I just hear a train whistle?
That's what it sounded like. Today.
Where did that come from? In this building or through my headset?
That was the headset, for sure.
You got a train?
Nothing over here. No.
Hogan Road?
No.
It was
right.
Weird. I
that
heard the horn,
weird.
Too.
I heard it like a train whistle.
I definitely heard it. But speaking of things that have gone bad
Tony,
for the Jags.
The train is leaving the station.
That's right.
Run.
Over there
it.
In London, Ace Sanders last year with that punt return basically killed any opportunity for the Jags in that game to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Gus Bradley yesterday talked a little bit about the Jaguars' current punt return situation.
You know, you'd like to have a chance where you can break one. You know, I think, look for Nick to get back there again now this week and give him some opportunities. I think his mindset is, as you've seen before, a guy that is aggressive as a punt returner. So we just got to hold on blockers a little bit longer, you know, maintain it, and then, hit it north and south. But you'd like to see us, you know, get some more yards on that and change field position.
Yes, you would. We all would. LeSean McCoy, in Philadelphia, I think he fell out of favor to some degree because he didn't hit it up there north-south as much as Chip Kelly wanted, which is why some people think Ryan Matthews has been a better fit at times than DeMarco Murray, because Ryan Matthews seems to be hitting the hole a little bit harder than Murray is, and it's one of the reasons, certainly, that I think LeSean McCoy was deemed expendable by Chip Kelly. Gus Bradley was asked yesterday about LeSean McCoy's running style.
The style of runs, they still run some gun runs, but they'll put them back, you know, quarterback up under and on occasion. But same style. I mean, when he comes out, attacks the edges, tries to get guys in space, they'll crack and get them one-on-one with the corner. So a lot of one-on-one type possibilities for him. He'll run inside. He's a guy that you really got to have your gap integrity, because if you try to fall back and help another guy just in case, you know, that's when he jump cuts and comes back and hits that gap. So requires a lot of discipline when you're playing a back like that.
Don't let this guy get off this week. He's not having – what did he lead the league in rushing 2 years ago, I think, with 1,600?
Yeah.
He's not playing that way right now.
No,
he
and
hasn't
he's hurt.
Been for a year and a half. I know.
And he's hurt. And,
don't let this guy turn into LeSean McCoy this week.
But I'm listening to Gus there say they create a lot of one-on-one opportunities for him. Well, with a team that's tackling the way the Jags
right.
are, that makes me feel wonderful about that matchup potentially with McCoy. Although it's tackling. You think that is something that guys that are playing defense in the National Football Football League ought to be able to do on a week-to-week basis. One final comment here from Gus Bradley talking about our running back, T.J. Yeldon, and where he's at with that groin injury right now.
He worked out today on the field, and I have not heard from our trainers yet how that went, but I know that he ran on the side. You know, we worked him out before the game, and there was some soreness that he had, so we'll see after today how I think they're going to see how he was on the cuts today.
We'll see. I'm going to have to hear a pretty glowing practice report from today to believe that T.J. Yeldon is going to be suiting up on Sunday for the Jags.
I would think so, too.
You know, and look, as we you certainly can't point to injuries this week, because just go look at Buffalo's list as well. Imagine how you'd feel about the Jags' chances if Blake Bortles were not playing. Right? And that's how, I mean, you may not feel Tyrod Taylor's anywhere in the same universe as Blake Bortles, but he's played pretty well this year for the most part, and he's their starter for a reason. And he's not going to be there. They're starting two wide receivers, not going to be there. Starting offensive linemen, starting defensive linemen. They got a bunch of guys missing, just like the Jags do. So show up,
sure,
play and beat them.
And the bottom end of the Jags roster continues to have to be churned because of injuries. I mean, it's Corey Grant and Tony Washington and those types of guys that they're losing. They just got back Derek Marks and Julius Thomas. I mean, those are two big
pieces. That's pretty big additions right there.
For this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I'm not saying that I expect Derek to be the 2014 Derek, but he played pretty well last week. He's certainly a better option for the Jaguars on the field than what they've had out there.
And I expect
for 25 reps
to be what we expect Julius to be.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a playmaker. And so far, he has exhibited that through one really full game and some limited reps.
Yeah. Those guys coming back should make them better than they've been. That's the bottom line. They ought to be better with Derek Marks and Julius Thomas than they were without.
All right, let's get to Blake Bortles here talking yesterday, as well as they get ready to hop the plane this afternoon in about 4 hours or so. I guess about 4 hours they'll leave the stadium and head out to the airport and wheels up, J.P. Shadrick said, sometime around 6 o'clock this late afternoon. Blake Bortles talking about the lack of short fields the offense has been getting, and you factor that in, Tony, with a small amount of turnovers that this team has created. I think, what, three? Tied with Dallas for lowest in the league?
I think that sounds right.
We just talked about the return game not giving you explosive plays to give you those short fields as well. So Bortles talked about the lack of short fields and basically having to have to drive 80 yards quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's situational type football, stuff you practice, you know, sudden change. If the defense gets a turnover, you know, we get a big return on special teams or something like that. So I think we've been good there. Like, we've done a good job, but, you know, I think, you know, we got to expect to get the ball and have to go 80 after a touchback every time, you know, whether a punt or whatever. You know, it's always nice to have a short field, you know, but we, you know, we fully believe that, you know, every time we get the ball, we can go 80.
Well, if they don't, they're not going to score right now because
they're not forcing turnovers.
Right, they're not forcing turnovers, so they're having to drive the length of the field. And I thought that was a very political answer, quite frankly. I mean, the answer is, yeah, you're damn right. We don't have many short fields. Are you kidding me? I'm out there, too. I see the game just like you guys. I mean, they don't. And that makes it easy on any offense. And the fact that they've been able to be as productive offensively driving at the length of the field, I think, you know, if you want to look for silver linings in what's been a bad season so far, that's one of them. What's next?
No, it certainly is. The production of that core on the offensive side of the ball, and hopefully they continue to grow over the course of the last half, basically, this season. Blake Bortles also talked about some of the injuries they've had to deal with on offense and guys having to step up.
You know, it's been unfortunate. I think guys have gotten banged up, but that's part of it. It's part of the NFL. You know, every team goes through it and struggles with it. So I think other guys have done a good job. I think Brian Walter stepped up and made some great plays. And, you know, Tony Washington is a guy that's gotten more playing time and then ended up getting hurt. You know, Allen gets hurt late in the game Sunday. But I think guys have done a good job in picking up the slack.
All right, one more from Blake here, and then we'll get a couple more on the other side. Take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you what's the farthest you've traveled to go see the Jaguars play. Bortles talking about the defense that he's going to face in London that the Buffalo Bills are bringing.
It's hard to get a beat on anything because they'll do anything with anybody. You know, they'll drop anybody inside and anybody outside. So I mean, it's definitely crazy. There's definitely things that you don't see when you play anybody else. So you got to expect everything, you know, because those guys are really good pass rushers. And then the fact that you know, they'll drop them into coverage, I think, shows their versatility and you know, they're trusting them to do other things.
Or they're desire to frustrate them, because right now at least two out of the four starting defensive linemen for the Buffalo Bills have expressed frustration with the amount of times they'd have to drop into coverage. I don't think you pay Marcel Darius to be a zone blitz, drop back, and pick up the running back or tight end.
I can tell you this. If I was playing against the Buffalo Bills, every time I saw Mario Williams or Marcel Darius drop in coverage, I'd consider that play a win.
That's a win, yeah. Right? I mean, if you're
keep dropping them in coverage,
go
that
line
works
up
for me.
Mario Williams against Luke Joeckel and let him rush 60 times a game. That's what they should do, and hopefully they keep doing what they've been doing.
You're out thinking yourself a little bit. With
I'm
that.
With you, man. Rex trying to show maybe he's a little too smart for his own good in that score, but we'll see. That's another issue. They've only had 9 sacks this year, Tony, through the first 6 weeks. Don't let that pass rush look like the pass rush of last year. And that's the thing. They sit there, and as you heard our guest Mike Shope earlier from WGR up in Buffalo, and I didn't take it as an insult. They're looking at the Jags and saying, hey, if we can't get right against the worst team in the league, who are we going to get right against?
Sure.
And how can you blame them?
Emotional springboard. Change the narrative.
Right. Go beat them, and then they can, you know, put their tail between their legs and figure out where they go from here, and that's their problem. All right, we'll take a timeout here. We'll come back, take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. If you'd like to get in today, 641-1010, I'll take a look as well. I haven't even peeked at the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. So I'll do that on the break, see if there's anything of note to bring to your attention. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I think the big thing out of today is the fact that it just dawned on me that the fans here in London, they definitely should be cheering for the Bills. And, you know, got the same, you know, hey, same color, the Union Jack, all that kind of stuff. So when in doubt, what do you want? What is it, teal? What is Jacksonville?
Teal.
Teal. Come on, please stop. So either way, I think that's big for the fans here in London and in England. We ought to be in great shape.
In London and in England, says Rex Ryan, who apparently thinks they may be separate entities. Different places. Tony, both of them, London and England, are both supposed to root for my horse teeth. And because, come on, teal, stop. What are you, Rex? Are you, a frat boy or something? Exactly. What are you trying to be there? I guess Rex is just trying to be Rex.
Rex is Rex, man.
Now I want him to shove something teal where the sun don't shine on Rex, which, quite frankly, there's an ample amount of real estate that probably covers, but regardless. That was Rex. Is that just from this morning, Tyler?
Oh, yeah, that was courtesy of BuffaloBills.com.
No, thank you, BuffaloBills.com. That'll be that much more delicious if the Jaguars are able to pick up victory number 2 on the year. All right, let's go to the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, Tony. Going back to the beginning of the show when the text started coming in, I've now collated some of these. Starting with one from the 904, we were talking about Tavon House getting benched earlier. He says, I don't really mind the benching of House. He has a lackadaisical attitude on the field. Not sure how that manifests itself. Yes, he covered him okay, talking about Hopkins, but look at the bottom line, 150 yards, 2 TDs. Hopkins is not even elite. This is where he lost me. This isn't Antonio Brown, Dez Bryant, Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Demaryius Thomas, and other receivers that are better than Hopkins. Don't get caught up with stats. Houston's forcing him the ball because he's the only thing they have in the passing game. Think about what you're saying. Here's an NFL team that only has one threat in the passing game. Is every defense coordinator an idiot in the league that they've played? Do none of them realize? So by that theory, it should be easy. If there's only one thing you got to take out, yet somehow this guy who's the only thing going for them in the passing game, when everyone knows the ball's going to him, puts up 100, 150 yards every single week. 4 in a row now and counting. I know you looked up, Tony, for some of these guys on that list, like Antonio Brown, Calvin Johnson. How long? It took them years to get to 4 consecutive 100-yard games.
It wasn't year 3.
Were they not elite? Or
I can tell you all those guys, it was not year 3 that they were putting up these kind of numbers.
Honestly, I don't know what to do with that one. I mean, if you think Howe should be benched, that's your prerogative. But if you're arguing it's because DeAndre Hopkins is not elite, you have a different definition of the
right
word than I do at this point.
Hopkins is a first-round pick by the Houston Texans going into his third year in the league.
Was he a first?
Yeah. He was I'm looking at it right now, where he's a first-round pick, 27th overall by Houston in 2013. and he's going into his third year, which is when most receivers really emerge.
He had a 1,200-yard year last year.
Right.
In his second year.
For a lot of us, I expected Hopkins to be this guy in 2015. This is what I expected Hopkins to be.
So did the Texans.
Right. And look, I thought before the year he is probably the best wide receiver in the AFC South, and it's certainly playing out that way right now.
All right, moving on. Let's see. I hear people talking about Dave's bad decisions. With the amount of moves he's had to make to tear down and reassemble this roster, the likelihood was much higher for a few mistakes. Agree? Well, sure, every GM's going to make some mistakes. If anyone wants to point to a handful of mistakes or whatever, I think the bottom line, when people look at the record and they say, what is it? Is it talent? Do we not have the talent? Do we not match up with these guys? Is it coaching? There's usually a mix of both to some degree. And you look back on the first draft, and I understand people say, oh, it's a historically bad draft for talent. There's still talent. There's still guys making the Pro Bowl out of that draft. You got an opportunity to draft them, go draft them.
They missed.
Right? They didn't draft them. They drafted Luke Jokel with the second overall pick when they could have gone the route of keeping Eugene Monroe. I don't know if that would have been a better alternative, but Luke Jokel doesn't look like the second overall pick in any draft to me so far. Jonathan Cyprian, if anybody needs to be worried about getting demoted, I think it's Jonathan Cyprian right now. I mean, Dwayne Grotz just got back into the starting lineup. He had already been demoted out of it. Ace Sanders is already gone. So that first draft, yeah, at least the top end of it, not looking too strong right now. So, look, no. I don't think Dave Caldwell's done a terrible job. The roster's certainly more talented than it was a few years ago. But the bottom line is they're not – the way T-Week says it, don't tell me that they believe they're going to be 1-5 at this point. I think if they're being honest, that they'd have to say they're underachieving by their own standards at this point in time.
No, so, I think they would. And, look, we said it when they drafted the guy – Dave Caldwell drafted Blake Bortles, and his term here in Jacksonville, generally speaking, is probably going to go with the ebbs and flows of Blake Bortles in his career. And if he turns into a top 10 franchise quarterback, then Dave's going to be
been a good GM.
Right. Right. I mean that's essentially what it's going to be. And Blake, we've talked about it for this entire season and going through last year. Look, I know there's a lot of people very critical of the mistakes Blake's making, and he's killing them, right? He's killing them with mistakes. He's also maybe the reason that you're in ball games to get killed,
right?
Is how much he has improved, and it's trying to get him to stop making the mistakes because he's making enough plays that you feel like you should start winning some games, but he's making the mistakes too, and if he continues to do that and doesn't improve, then yeah, Dave's going to be in trouble, too.
Now, according to Maurice Jones-Drew, then, I guess Dave Caldwell should already be fired. He's already declared Blake Bortles a bust. He did it after 16 games of starting. Did it after 16 games. And I'm not letting him off the hook for it, either. this one in, and again, the fan feedback spotlight asking you today, how far have you traveled for a Jags game? Mike, I love my hometown Jags like no other fan. If I were rich, I'd go to every game no matter where it's played. I've driven to Cleveland and won and was pelted with snowballs. I've driven to Nashville and Pittsburgh 2 times in 2 weeks and won. The longest drive by far was to Foxborough for a New England game and lost. That was a long drive home. I'd love to go to London 1 year. I have a tattoo of them on my chest, so they are always close to my heart. That one from the 904 area code. Hey, not sure if this counts. I was raised in Hawaii and in Ireland, and I lived in South Africa. Now I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Sure. Went to the first London game, says another one. Driving up the New Jersey Turnpike, listening to you guys. Someone tweeted at us.
What up?
A little while ago. What up, New Jersey Turnpikers? Question of the day. My mom is heading to London tomorrow. She's been a season ticket holder since day one and always remains positive. Good luck, Mom. Safe travels and have fun. Hopefully you can bring us home a Jaguar victory. MapQuest said the farthest I went to see the Jags is 12.4 miles. Chafee Road to Everbank. One of these days, I'll catch a roadie. Good for you, man. Just keep plugging away. Let's see who else we have here. Please start Robinson at running back this week. You might see that. The defense is not good. No pass rush and poor fundamentals. Okay, that was a little random, but that's fine. We don't necessarily disagree with that. So, Tony, more fan feedback spotlight today brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships.
Sure, from Jag Fanatic, Jax to Houston for that terrible, terrible Monday night game. Hashtag, did I mention we drove? From apathetic Jags fan, through hell and back. And that's what a lot of Jags are feeling right now.
That's pretty funny.
From Joe, Jefferson City, Missouri to Everbank Field is 827 miles. So that over and over again. From Ocho Fisho, when masked, I hail from parts unknown. Unmasked, I went to Seattle. From Eric, I just did it. The Tampa Takeover was my first away game for me. Would like to go to London next year. From Chris, this year is my first away game. Headed to the Superdome. Father-in-law is a Saints fan. From Black Dog, 1998, flew with group to Chicago, and we won 24-23 in a come-from-behind victory. From Mike, 2014, went from New York to San Diego for what ended up being Blake Bortles' first start. From Jags movie guy, Charlotte, but I was in Philly to watch the 49ers London game. Does that count? And finally, from Teal-pocalypse, well, so far it's been Seattle in 2013. London is still a definite possibility.
All right, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. By the way, Tom Bush's Family of Dealerships celebrating their 45th year in business as Tom Bush opened his first dealership in Jacksonville with Tom Bush Volkswagen back in 1970, and they were just voted for the fourth year in a row the annual Reader's Poll Best Place to Buy a New Car by Folio Weekly, and voted in the first annual Bold City Best Place to Buy a New Car, and the Best Place to Buy a Pre-owned Car, according to the Florida Times Union, and as well are proud sponsors of Breast Cancer Month and making folks aware of that. They're sponsoring and participating in the Making Strides Against Breast Cancer Walk, benefiting the American Cancer Society and other great outlets as well. Check out TomBush.com for all the details. By the way, Mike Tirico of ESPN tweeting out that T.J. Yeldon is back at practice today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Missing practice, however, including Marquise Lee, James Sample, Clay Harbor, and the most worrisome, Jeremy Parnell, right now, your right tackle. So hopefully we'll get an update on that from Gus coming up as he will address the media for one final time before they hop on the plane later on this afternoon. Jags will be off the practice field in a little bit, and then they'll get dressed out and head to the airport and make that trip to London and hopefully bring back their first overseas W as an organization. We'll be back tomorrow and hopefully get a chance to talk with some folks overseas, including Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, who we appreciate his reporting today on the Shad Khan presser. Jags extend their agreement to play in London through 2020 with a league option through 2025. The Jags are willing to do it. It's up to the league if they want to extend it beyond that. I don't think you'd see them exercise that option for a few years to see how the whole situation plays out. But Shad Khan saying today, one game per year in London is what they're committing to and nothing beyond that. And Ryan O'Halloran put it that Shad Khan kind of was a little evasive on the answer when asked, could you possibly play home and road back-to-back in London. That may still be decided and worked out, but we will see. Good luck to the Jags. Safe travels to not only the Jags, but all of our friends with the organization as well, and even our enemies with the... I'm kidding. We don't have any enemies with the organization. At least that tell us to our face. They probably hate us behind our backs. More me than Tony. That's understandable, of course. But safe travels to everybody. And if you're making the trip, that's phenomenal. Call us from overseas if you make the trip over there. If you're a local here in the 904 area code making the trip, and tell us what you're seeing, what you're doing. And certainly if you can't do that or if you don't want to do that long distance, call us next week and tell us how the trip was. We look forward to hearing from you and look forward to the Jags going in there and playing better football than they have in over a month. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime right around the corner. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.